Okay, everybody said today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. We're holding the final two lines on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, and we're continuing to talk about Hilchos Mezuzah, the Amr of Yuna Mishmuel, Mitzvah L'Hanicha B'Toich Chaloloi Shel Pesach. The mitzvah is to go and put it within the hollows of the entranceway. Now, this does not mean in the hollow of the mezuzah, the doorpost. What it means is, look at every doorpost. Let's assume that this is a doorpost. And let's assume that people are walking in between these two doorposts in the entranceway. So, since the Torah says you have to go and put the mezuzah on the doorpost, we're on the doorpost. Theoretically, it could be here on the front of the doorpost. Theoretically, on the back of the doorpost. But the Gemara says, no. Here in the halal. Halal is the hollow of the doorway we are entering in between the two doorposts into the house or through the shahr or whatever. So it's on the side, like we do it, of course, on the side of the doorpost. The Omer Vira Mishmo, Mitzel Anicha B'Tech Chaloli Shul Pesach. Chaloli means that hollow of the doorway that you're entering into.
That means in the hollow?
No. Sticking out from here.
What's cholo?
Cholo means that this is the hollow of the doorway. The doorway.
Space?
The space. Ear space. Open up the door. Tunnel space. Ear space. Hollow. Entranceway. Whatever. It's there on the side. Good. Very good. No, I'm glad that you clarified that. Is mitzvah nicha b'toy chalol ishul pesach. Freit mar pshita b'sharecha marachmona. The Torah says you do it within the shahr. So within the shahr sounds like taka in the hollow ear space of the shahr where you're walking in. So it was okay that chamin hovi amarava mitzvah lanicha betefach hasamach lirishus harabim. We're going to see Mitchum in the Amid Beis. Rava says, where do you put the mezuzah? On the tefach, which is closest to the rishus harabim. What does that mean? So once again, we get back to our illusion over here, or our diagram. Let's assume that from here to here is 5 feet or 10 feet wide. It goes very, very far.
Shar Yafo,
okay, good. And so therefore, the entranceway is almost like going into a tunnel. You're not just going through a 6-inch wide entranceway. You're going into a 6-foot wide entranceway. So the question is, where do you put the mezuzah? Do you put it over here, in the middle, at the end? It's quite wide. Says Rava, put it tefach hasamach rishus harabim. As soon as you're walking into this tunnel, you see it right away on your right hand side. What's the reason for that? We mentioned we're going to see on the Amid Beis two reasons. Number one, she yifka b'mitzvah tchila. Even before he enters into his home, he's already being osik b'mitzvah, looking at the mezuzah, perhaps even kissing the mezuzah. Number one, and number two, since you have more shmira, the shmira shouldn't start right before you walk into your house, but the shmira should be already as far as possible in the front, even before you get close to the house. Mitch will see that on the Yom Adres. So since Rava said that, says Yom Arsoka Dai Techamina, Hoyo Yom Rava Mitzvah Nicha Matevach Hasam of Shusar Abim, Kama Demerchik Mali, maybe the furthest away from your actual door into your house is the best, meaning that it should be placed on the front of the mezuzah, not on the
side,
not on the side, the front of the doorpost, not on the side. So I might have thought, Kamash, well, no. That's why he's telling you it has to be taken on the side and not on the front and not on the back. The Amr of Yiram Mishmu, Kosva al Shnei Dafin Psula. All of those of you that are familiar with the way a mezuzah looks like, it's basically one long daf being a column, and then the top half of the column is the Shema, and the second half on the bottom is Vohayim Shemaya. What happens if instead you wrote it on two daf? Two daf means on two columns. That's how Rashi learns. We will shortly learn what Tosis says, but Rashi learns that it was on two dafim, meaning that instead of it being a long mezuzah, it was a wide mezuzah. Why? Because they wrote the Shema Yisrael and Vohayim Shemaya side by side, two dafim. Not necessarily that they only wrote Shema on the first column and the Vohayim Shemaya on the second column, because Vohayim Shemaya is a little bit longer than Shema. So the presumption is that he wrote the first daf, that is, the first column was 80% Shema Yisrael, then he continued on with that it was. Psuchos or stumos, we had that shaila already yesterday. And after that, he continued on with the Chayim Shemaya for two or three lines. And then the continuation of Chayim Shemaya on the second column, which was parallel to it. So Rashi learns that the two columns were on one piece of parchment. And says Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, that is possible. No good. Freitimon Meisvei. Kosva al shnei dafim veinicha b'shnei sipim. That's psula. The Braisa says, when you rotak on two columns, like we just discussed, and you put it b'shnei sifim, which means on two doorposts, then it's possible. Habeksaf echad is ksheira. However, if you only put it on one doorpost, it's mashma that it's kosher. Now, before we continue on, l'choira, it's very difficult to go and take one piece of parchment that has two columns and shear it with two sipin, with yes, two doorposts. We're not talking about the doorpost and the right, and the doorpost on the left, because the Gemara is going to tell us on the Amud Beis and the Mirchim and tomorrow's daf that you go and put the mezuzah derech piyoscha, which is on the right-hand side and not on the left-hand side. So al korchach, when it says shnei sipim, it means, like we're talking about this deep tunnel, if you will, which is several feet from the beginning of the tunnel till you reach the house in back of the tunnel. So you had, within that tunnel, two doorposts attached to one another, or close to one another. And what the Gemara is saying is, if the person wrote a mezuzah with two columns, and in between the two columns, says Rashi, with a lot of gvil cholak between them, a lot of margin, so then at least theoretically you can go and wind up and roll up one half and put it into one of the two mezuzahs, a doorpost, and the second half, you'd also roll it. That would be different than what we learned yesterday in the Gemara, that you're always supposed to go and roll it from left to right. Okay, but if he were to go and do that, and try to use this one mezuzah for two doorposts, one next to each other, how could that be? Because it's shnei dafim, says the Brice is possible, which is mashma that otherwise, if you folded it normally and you took the same mezuzah instead of splitting it, so to speak, over the two, or shearing it over two doorposts, if you put it all besaf echad, is mashma that it's kosher, which of course is the kashan of Yehuda Mishmuel that said kosher shnei dafim is possible. Once, if you please. Toisis is not happy with Rashi's pshat because he said it's a doichik to go and say that you take one piece of parchment and you shear it with two doorposts. Therefore, says Toisis and many other Rishonim, that when we say in the Gemara two dafin, it really means on two pieces of cloth. When one piece of cloth has the first parsha and perhaps the next couple of lines from the second parsha, and the second piece of cloth has the rest of it, and now that's the splitting. We take one cloth and they put it into one saf, meaning into one doorpost, the second one into the other doorpost, says the Braisa, that's possible. It's got to be together in one doorpost. Ah, so it's mashma, if I take the two separate klafen, I combine them together, and I put it into saf echad, it's mashma that it's kosher. That Shven Rav Yehuda Mishmuel that said, kosher shnei dafim, if you put it on two separate pieces of klaf, it's possible. What's your question?
At the second doorpost, wouldn't that be already sort of buttle to the first doorpost? Why are we doing this two mezuzahs? When you enter into a room, you have a doorpost, and then once you enter in, everything is, as it were, part of the room. Mm-hmm. Why is that doorpost being considered a separate entity in itself? Either it's part of the first doorpost, or it's already part of the room.
The point that you're making is very good. The question is, on a practical level, how do you have two doorposts next to each other? We're not talking about the one on the right and the one on the left, because that's certainly possible. We learn the Gemara, which we will learn, that you put it on the right and not on the left. And therefore, what's going on over here that we're talking about, it's in two doorposts. Al-Korchach. So the Farshim Soma, the doorposts are on one side. They don't go into more detail as to perhaps if they're two doorposts, maybe there are also two doors. And maybe there is a space of Ichbais and Amma between one door and the other. So you go through one door, close it, and then you go through the next door and you close it. And therefore he shared the klaf, the two klafim according to Toises, or this very long piece of urea of the mezuzah on the two doorposts. But one way or another, it's talking about that if you split it or share it between two doorposts, that's no good. It's a shver of Yehuda Mishmuel. It's mashma if you collected it together, the two klafim, or that one long megillah, long mezuzah, and you put it into one tzav, it's mashma, it's kosher. It's like Shvein Rav Yerim Shmuel that said that it's possible. When the Braisa says kosher shnei daf venicha b'shnei sifim, it doesn't mean that he literally put it into two sifim, but rather he's talking about that it was so long that you could have put it into two sifim. In other words, on a practical level, I agree with you. It would talk and be very difficult. But because of its great width, one could theoretically have put them into two separate doorposts. And now the question is that kosher or not, says the Braisa? It's possible. But the Braisa doesn't mean to say that he actually placed it into two sipin, but rather it means that it was roy in terms of its huge size and width. It could have been put into two sipin.
As for kasha, it is possible. You have like connecting rooms in a hotel, or a Shabbos, with children. You have two rooms connected.
Right.
It could be two doors between the rooms.
And you have like two doors, one next to each other.
Sometimes, so each one has a built-in closed, open the door.
Okay, good. So that was basically what we were saying, that you had not only two doorposts, but also two doors back to back.
That would require two separate mezuzahs?
That would, so what our Gemara is saying is, that's a good question. Let's take one question at a time. In terms of our Gemara, the Gemara says that if you split up the mezuzah into two different, either two different dafim, meaning two columns, or, like Toises learned, two different pieces of parchment, then putting one here and one there, that would be possible. Or according to Gemara's Teretz, even if you put the two together in one of those two, it would be possible, because it has to be one mezuzah, and not two mezuzahs, and not two dafim. Your question about if you had, in fact, these type of two doors, one next to each other, whether or not you'd have a mezuzah on each one, presumably you would not, because the space between one of the two doors and the other is minimal, and you have to have at least a shear of 4 amas by 4 amas for purposes of putting up a mezuzah. A question would be, to which direction should you put the mezuzah? Meaning, which one is the entry into the other room, and which one is the exit from one room to the other? Further, exactly the same, and we're going to talk about that type of question in another minute. But in the meantime,
probably possible in terms of whether it's sumos or not. It's
according to the Gemara, you can do it either way. Uh-huh. And I believe that's halacha also. There may be a preference of doing it one way or the other, but I believe halacha both ways works. Getting back to our Gemara, the Omer of Yoram HaShmur, the mezuzah, heilech achar heker tzir. When you're determining where you put the mezuzah, whether to the right of the entrance or to the left of the entrance, you have to look at where the heker tzir is. What means heker tzir? Heker tzir means, in the good old days, they didn't have hinges on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, like we typically have today. But what do they have? They had a hole in the floor, and then have pivot, which was attached to the door, and that pivot would go down into the hole, as well as a hole on the top in the lintel, what we call the mashgeif, also such a pivot that you would push upwards. And even today you have that if, for instance, you go into a large wedding hall or into a large shul where they have two doors parallel to one another. What keeps those two doors in place? Of course, if you put a doorpost in the middle of the two, then they would both hold in place. But if you don't have that the doorpost, what causes the door not to go and swivel back and forth? So you have these pivots that go into the floor. Even in our house, in our in Western Avenue, normally only one of the two doors are open, but when somebody comes in with a lot of luggage and all the rest, and they open up both doors and they have to push up from the bottom that pivot and from the top, etc. So that's called a heker tzir, such a pivot. So now what does that mean that you go after the heker tzir? Let's take that you don't have two doors, you just have one door, and to keep the door in place, you have those pivots going into the ground. Where was that pivot located? It was attached to the bottom of the door. Was it attached to the front of the door or attached to the back of the door? Of course, the front and back also determines, is also dependent on where you're standing. One person is standing on one side, he says, oh, this is the front. The other person on the other side of the door, he says, that's the back. But what I mean to say is, let's assume you're talking about your own house. Let's assume you're not talking about apartments, a regular normal house, and you have that pivot that's holding the door in place. Where would you normally keep that pivot? You'd keep it on the inside of the house, because you would want to be the one that directs when the door should be open and when the door should be closed. You don't want to put the pivot outside the house, because that would mean that the people that are visiting or the people that are passing by, they can determine when to open the door and when not to open the door. That's not a very smart thing. You want, of course, the housekeeper, the homeowner, to be able to go and make that decision. So the heketzir would typically be on the inside of the house. So wherever the door happens to be, and wherever the entranceway happens to be, and you're wondering, which one, is this an entrance, is this an exit, just look where the pivot is, and that you know is that's inside the home, and therefore, when you're coming in the mushroom from the other side, then you know that you have to go and put the mezuzah on the right-hand side, because that's your entering into the house. How do I know that that's the entranceway, maybe that's the exit way? Way is because I see where the pivot is, I know that's inside the house. So now, that's very straightforward, but it's soon going to become a little bit more complicated. So, Umar of Ada Avaksa, start again. Umar Shmuel, Mezuzah, Elachar Heketzir. Frankly, well, my Heketzir, what does that mean? Umar of Ada Avaksa. Avaksa means the threshold down on the floor that the hole is bored into, in which the pivot is lowered every time you want to close the door. So, Umar Hechidami. Give me an example where this is a practical application. After all, under normal circumstances, I know when I'm going in a house and I know when I'm leaving a house. The house belongs to Mr. Smith. I knock on the door or ring the bell. He opens it. Then I walk in. So on the right-hand side, that's the entranceway. Of course, people eventually leave the house, but they're only leaving as an exit through the entranceway because there's no second door in the back or whatever. Okay, so this is the entrance. So what's the shaila? What do I need to know about the heketzir? Oh, heichidam can go in pischa de bein trei bati bein begavri le bein nashi. When we say pischa de bein trei bati, we really mean between two rooms. And in this house, there are basically two rooms, one to the right, one to the left. One on the right, the mushal, is for all the men folk that are coming in and going out, and they're dining, they're visiting, or whatever. The bein nashi is the left side where the women are. Why are the women on the left side? Says Rashi, because they're busy, the mushal, in the kitchen doing their malacha, or they're knitting or sewing, or whatever women used to do at home. And so therefore, says Rashi, b'hatzneya, we want a bit of tznius over here, we don't want to have the mingling of the men and the women at home, and so therefore the women had their own quarters and the men had their own quarters. Now, Rashi explains that each one of these two rooms, both the one for the men and one for the ladies, besides having, okay, each one of them had their own entrance or exit to the street. So you did not have to go through one of the two rooms to leave the house. Each one had their own doors and doorways going to the street. Now the question is, anybody that's going from one room to the other, from the quote-unquote the room for the men to the room for the ladies, which there's only one door in between, which way should you go and put the mezuzah? Do you look upon the men as now entering into the ladies' quarters and therefore you put it onto the right side of the entranceway as you're entering to the ladies? Or maybe it's the other way around, that the ladies are leaving their quarters, they're going into the men's quarters, and therefore you have to have the mezuzah on the right side as they're leaving into the men. That being the case, it's 50-50. Let's assume the traffic is exactly the same in terms of men going into the ladies going into the men. So which one is the side that you would say that's the entranceway? And which one would you say is the side which is the exit? The nafkamin, of course, is where do you put the mezuzah? On this side or on that side? So some people would say, well, that's just a way coin toss and an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But that's not how the Gemara deals with it. The Gemara says, let's look at where the pivot is when we have this doorway. In other words, it's not just an open passage. There is a door, and the door is attached to a doorpost. Where is that pivot? If the pivot happens to be lemushal on the side of the ladies, so then when you're going through that doorway, that between the two doorposts, then you would put it on the right-hand side as if you're entering into the room of the ladies. On the other hand, if the pivot happens to be on the side of the men, so then you would, when you're leaving the ladies' quarters to go into the men, then you would have it on the right-hand side as you are leaving the ladies and going into the men. So that's how that's what Rav Yehuda Mishmuel meant when he says, Helech Acha Heker Tzir, in this type of situation where, now, if you only had one doorway leaving the house from either the men's quarters or from the ladies' quarters, then you know for sure that that would be the, let's say it's on the men's quarter, you have the doorway to the outside. So people that want to get into this house, they have to go through the men, and then from the men to the ladies. So by definition, the men's quarters would be like a railroad room, if you will, that to get to the ladies, they have to go through the men. And the vice versa would be the same thing if there was only a doorway to the ladies' side and not to the men's side, so that to get to the men's side, you have to go through the ladies. So then the ladies, that would be your railroad to get into the men. So then that would dictate where your mezuzah would be. For instance, in that second case, that the doorway is only to the ladies, doorway to the outside, only to the ladies, so therefore there's no way of getting to the men's quarters unless you go through the ladies. Okay, so then when you get to that door between the ladies and the men, then that's obviously an entrance into the men's quarters, because there's no other way of getting into the men's quarters except by going from the ladies to the men. So therefore you put on to the right-hand side as you're going from ladies to the men, and vice versa. You only had the door on the men's side and that on the ladies' side.
What about if it's a sliding door?
What do you mean a sliding door? Are you talking about in between the men's
door,
and the ladies?
Pocket door.
What does that mean?
It slides into the wall. A door that doesn't...
Are you talking between the men and the ladies? Okay. Those are modern-day shaylos, which are important shaylos, but that's not what our Gemara is dealing with. We're dealing with that the doors are at all times external.
So the thing what you're talking about is like, how do you call that thing that it's holding the door?
On the top is the lintel, or the mashkof.
No.
The hinge?
The hinge. On the side where the hinge is.
Okay, yeah. We don't have... In the times of Chazal, they didn't have hinges. They only had the pivots going down into the ground. Questions that you're asking are all excellent questions, and there are modern-day contemporary svarim that deal with contemporary issues related to doors and doorways and doorposts and all that. But we're just talking about what the situation was then, and the situation was then is as we're describing, that because there are now doorways both to the men's and to the ladies from the outside, neither of them is considered to be like a passageway into the other, because you can easily leave the house through either the men's quarters or the ladies' quarters separately. The only shaila would be is the gabe, that doorway in between the men's and the ladies, which one is the entrance, which one is the exit. There you look at where the pivot goes into the ground.
It's on the same side as the heker, as the tzir, or the opposite side?
What does that mean?
And so for instance, here you have the bolt. In the time of the Gemara, that would be the heker tzir.
When you say the bolt, you mean the pivot into the ground?
Yeah, the bolt here goes into the side, into the opposite mezuzah.
The pivot into the ground. Not a bolt into the wall.
Right, the bolt into the ground, the pivot into the ground.
Yes, yes.
That's, as it were, the security factor here, because that allows the owner or the person controlling that pivot to decide when it's open or when it's closed.
And that is called a bias.
Okay,
and therefore, now when you're entering from the other side, you're entering to the bias, you put your mezuzah on the right hand side.
Okay, so in your configuration, the pivot is on the left side. I'm facing the door. The pivot's on my left.
The pivot is not in front of me. I don't see it because it's on the other side of the door.
Okay. All right, so fine. So I'm on the other side of the door. Mm-hmm. I'm facing the door. The pivot's on my right, on the floor.
It makes no difference. You're positing a question where the, quote-unquote, where the hinge is, where the door is
no
coming from.
There's no hinge, you're saying.
And no hinge. So therefore, the door is being held in place by those pivots. So now, if the pivot happens to be on the inside of the door,
right.
In other words, what means inside? I look at the door, where's the pivot? I don't see it. Chucham, it's on the other side. Oh, so it means that's the bias. If I put it on the right hand side of the entrance where you put your mezuzah.
So it doesn't matter where the pivot is, it matters where the pivot decides what the inside is, and then the inside determines where the mezuzah is.
The inside is that's the bias, right. And if it's the right side.
Okay, that governs it, okay.
Good. And if you're looking at a door and you say, oh, the pivot is on my side, hey, that's great, I can play with it or whatever, so that means you're inside the bias, and therefore if somebody's coming in from the other side, he has to go and put the mezuzah on his right side.
That's the entrance, and the right side of the entrance.
Okay. Good. Excellent. And we continue on to the Moriah Tzvait. Mar tells us a story. What was the story? Reish Kalusa Bona Besa. Reish Kalusa, the exilarch, was building a house. Omri Rav Nachman. As we all know, Rav Nachman was the Chadban. He was the Chasan of Ben Yisir. He was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa. And the Reish Kalusa said, I want to be mechabed you with going and putting up the mezuzah. Now, at the point of this Gemara is, we don't know it yet, but he was building the house. The doorposts had not been erected yet. They were still on the floor. They're going to be put up tomorrow. But Rav Nachman was going on a business trip, or Rav Nachman was going on a halacha tour to go and teach halacha to the masses.
He was on a circuit judge. He was going to the Imamanos in Bubble, because that was his job.
Yeah, just like Shmuel Ramos, he also went from place to place.
Exactly.
So Reish Galusa says, Rav Nachman, my entire item, I hear you're leaving tomorrow on the first flight. Do me a favor, put up the mezuzahs right now on the doorpost. The problem is the doorpost was not posted yet. It was still on the floor. So Rav Nachman, Toli Dashi Bereshi. Before you put the mezuzah on, you have to first put an anchor, the doorpost, into the ground, and then after that I can go and put on the mezuzah. What's the reason? We'll see Mitzvah on Yom Tov, because just like you have when it comes to a sukkah, you have to make sure that it's, or it's got to be tzitzis, it's got to be tas of aloy mina osui. Here it's also got to be tas of aloy mina osui, meaning after you have your mezuzah standing, then you can go and chsavtam al mezuzah pesach v'reshi uver shirach, and then you can affix the mezuzah. But if you don't have the mezuzahs yet, they're still lying on the ground, that's not the time to go and put the mezuzah up. First you got to put up the doorpost, and then you can affix the mezuzah. We'll talk about this more on the other base. Om Rav Yirom Rav, asa kimin neger is psula. A neger is a bolt, like you were referring to earlier, but this is not a bolt that you put into the ground. This is a bolt that we are putting into the wall. And the Rashi gives an example. If, for instance, a person wants to, l'mushal, hang up a picture, or for whatever other reason he wants to go and nail a nail into the wall, so he takes the nail, horizontal, takes the hammer, and knocks it into the wall. Therefore, says Rashi, similarly, what this person did was, on his beautiful doorpost, he decided to go and put in the mezuzah. Now, here's like Mendy was talking about before, that you have the mezuzah inside. In Eretz Yisrael, as you know, in many, many of the doorposts, in fact, the mezuzah is inside the hollow of the doorpost. Here we're talking about, instead of putting it ba'alach sign like we normally do it today, he took, assume that this is, well, what are we doing on this side? This is all nice and complete, and he goes and makes a hole into the wall, and then he inserts the mezuzah lying down in that hole.
Horizontal,
exactly. Instead of vertical, horizontal.
He bores into the...
He bores into the doorpost.
There's there.
And instead of having it stand up nicely, either straight, erect...
It's hiding inside the wall.
It's hiding, but it's hiding in a shechiva, in a lying position, as opposed to a standing position. So it is horizontal and not vertical. The reason why we call it k'moy neger is neger means a bolt, just like you have a bolt, for instance, from the door that goes into the socket. Here too, he went and put first a nail in. He took the nail out. Now I have a small little
hole. It's like
hole.
We had by graves when they put their bodies into
okay.
The case.
He drilled in. He drilled it in.
Okay, very good. So Rav Yudah Marav says, Sokim and Neger is possible. No good. Possible. Vaytimar Eini Vaki Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Omar Kulu Mezuzta Debeir Rebbe Kimin Neger Havi Avidan. When we went to the Bismedish of Rebbe, or the house of Rebbe, we saw that he had his mezuzahs like a neger. In other words, lying down horizontally. And in addition to that, this is already a separate point, but he pischad the ayil bei Rebbe, the bei Midrasha. Rebbe used to go into Bismedish on a regular basis. His doorway, lo yihava lo mezuzah. There was no mezuzah on that door. Can you imagine what's going on? And for the more, lo kasha. The kasha is that first we said putting it like a bolt is possible. Aye, by Rebbe, all of them were like bolts, so you see that it's kosher. What does that mean? So you have over here the picture in the Rashi. It's not obvious what the picture is referring to, but now that we've learned the Gemara Abisla, we have a better idea. At least in my Gemara, I have a 1 and a 2 next to those white-looking things in this upside-down U. The upside-down U, that is the entranceway, and on the right-hand side is where you go and put your mezuzah. Number one in mine, or in yours, the higher picture, is lying b'shchiva, lying horizontally. That's what you see in the picture. That thing where it says, no good. The second one down below is istavir. Istavir means that it's standing erect, upright, vertically. That thing Gemara says is good. And therefore, that's the machloikis between the, not the machloikis, but that's the teretz to Arkasha. Yitzur Bar Yosef, when he said that a mezuzah which is lying like a boat is no good, because it's lying horizontally. I and Rebbe, all of his mezuzahs were like a boat, yeah, but they were erect vertical boats and not horizontal boats. That's the Gemara's text. Rashi has a slightly different second pshat on Istavira, and that second pshat is that it wasn't totally vertical, because Istavira, says Rashi, is like the joint which joins the shok, your thigh, to your bottom leg. If you want, you can even see, and my Gemara even has a more graphic picture on the right-hand side, a shoik mit regel. And if you're going with that, the shoik and regel has a shape of like a nun. And therefore, if you look at the picture below, once again, in my Gemara, it is a three, which is the horizontal one, that's no good. But four, which is like a nun, which is a shoik and regel together, right, if you're... The shok is not, many people think of the shok as being the upper thigh, it's really the lower thigh. The lower thigh, as it connects with the regel, with the foot down below, so it forms something like a nun. That's where Rebbe's bolts were. So his mezuzah apparently was folded slightly on the bottom, but most of it was erect and most of it was vertical. So the whole nafki minna between the two pshatim of Rashi is whether we're talking about a bolt which is totally vertical, like in the first picture, or whether it was like a nun, where most of it was vertical, but there was a little bit sticking out on the bottom, and that's number four, or the section picture down below. Okay, so that's how Rashi learns. If it happens to be horizontal, no good. Vertical, it is good. Tosis, however, says just the opposite of Rashi. And he says that if you put it vertical, that's no good, but if it's lying horizontal, that is good.
Well, want, drilled into horizontal.
It doesn't have to be necessarily drilled, but somehow or other you had to go and insert the bolt into the doorpost. If you needed a drill, took a drill. If you were able to do it with a nice hammering of a nail and extracting the nail, you do it that way. They were choikik it, exactly. So now if you look at the toises, the fairly lengthy toises here, right before the wide lines, Hoda Avida. Negar is a bolt. Like you put it into a wall. How do you go and insert a bolt into the wall? By knocking it in, and that would be flat, like horizontal. And that's standing, and that's kshayr. According to this, the word nagar, or neger, which is referring to the bolt, whether it's a horizontal bolt or it's a vertical bolt, they're both called bolts. Only question is, how is it standing or how is it lying? V'kashle b'netam, the umid that Rashi says is kosher, lav derech kovidhu. It's not nice that the mezuzah should be standing. U'kvuras chamar kori leba moicher peiros. In a moicher peiros in Baba Basra, it says that if you find a mess under the ground, in other words, you are now digging a foundation for a new house like you have in Eretz Yisrael. Every now and then you get protests and afghanis and all, it's always leibedik. So it depends on how you find the bones. If the bones are lying flat, then you know it was a Jewish burial. If they're standing up, that's a kvuras chamor. That's considered to be not a respectable way of going and burying bones, having them standing erect. So you see that, l'choyer, that's not the way to do it. And the Sefer Torah, the Luchos sheba'aron, mushkiv le'me'umet. The Sefer Torah, the Luchos, which were in the Beis HaMikdash, the box that the Oren in which they were lying, the Luchos were lying flat. And the Sefer Torah was lying flat.
Put the Torah standing.
Sorry, once again, I'm sorry.
In our Aronis,
for sure. But Toises is bringing a raya from the times of the Luchos and the times of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, where they had the Aroin. And the Gemara says, it's Machloikis, where the Sefer Torah was on the outside and the inside. But if it was on the inside, it's talking about that it was flat. And the Luchos were also flat. Mushka, when I say flat, that means horizontal, and not standing. Kinemashim perikam de bavavasra. But there was enough room. Don't tell me it's because we didn't have choice. No. There was enough room. But nevertheless, they put it down flat and not standing. So skip a line. It's just the opposite. That we said, that the bolt is parcel, that's when it's standing. How did it get the name? It's like the pegs that were down below, next to the Mishkan, holding down the walls, either the Amudim, the kroshim and or the yerioys. So those were pegs that were put into the ground, and they were like a sichsa. That type of peg is vertical. That vertical is no good. So kistavir hanosim shoyk lerachba, like the bottom of the foot where it's nice and flat. That is kusha. So therefore, we have a machloikis mamish mikotze ele kotze between Rashi and Tosis, that according to Rashi, you dafka have to do it vertical, and according to Tosis, you dafka have to do it flat or horizontal. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? The Mechaber paskins like Rashi, and he says that the mezuzahs have to be vertical, horizontal are no good. The Mos says, v'yesh oimim, others say, in parentheses, the Tosfos and other Rishonim, that no, it's just the opposite, that it should dafka be flat, and it should not be vertical. And then says the Rama at the end, v'onanoyagim, that we go and put it balachsin, that we do it at a slant, so therefore he doesn't say the reason why, but the presumption is to be a pshara between the Rashi and the Tosfos.
Instead of having two mezuzahs, we got one.
Well, if you had two mezuzahs, you have a problem about Tosfos, you only let it have one. But you're right. So
but that with filling, you don't have one tortoise.
Nachumon, nachumon. Bye.
You have two sets of filling.
Of then you're Tom and Rashi.
You're talking about filling?
You're putting on the yeah, but you're,
well, some Svardim do. Anyway, there's a lot of discussion about that as well.
We get the tefillin.
But if you put in 8 parashias into one instead of 2 separate tefillin, you really have a problem. You have to have 4 parashias and 4. Anyway, you were getting off the topic. So that's how everybody does it today. I shouldn't say everybody. Could be by the Sfardim, they still do like the Marana Machaber, that they go and put it vertical. But at least the Rama says that that's our meaning today, that we go and do it balachsa. Again, it doesn't say the reason, but the presumption is the pshar. And then when I was learning with my son Ben Sion last night, he reminded me that people say b'shem Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, that isn't this interesting? You have a machloikis that since one says vertical, one says it's horizontal, let's make a pshar. Since you don't normally find that, right. It's usually one way or the other. This is the right way or this is the right way. Make a pshara. So Reb Yaakov says, I guess, b'derech tzachis, that's why when a chosen kala, when they finish their chasana, and they're going home now, and they're going into their home, the first thing that they see is that the mezuzah as ba'alach soin, that it is at a slant. To teach every husband and wife, especially chosen kala, if you want to have a good marriage, you have to always be on the tzad of pshara. Never go and say, no, it's got to be my way or the highway. Each one has to be able to bend a little bit, the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband, and that's the best marital advice you can go and give to Chusakala, as well as to any couple. If you want this to be a stable marriage, you have to do like the mezuzah. You look at the mezuzah, it's balachsa, it's a pshara between one and the other.
Rashi said,
remember switching from what we said, it was like a nagar, where it was
right inside the body of the cavity. Right.
And now we're saying we're talking about
on the outside.
On the outside,
exactly.
Whether it's vertical.
In Eretz Yisrael, they also do it on the inside of balachsa. They don't do it.
No, I'm saying, but before we started,
you
saying, we hachaku, we
empty out the body of the.
We put it in horizontal, not meant at what angle on the outside, but we meant whether we. Whether we go inside the doorpost.
Is mezuzah face on the outside of the airspace, or is it inside the airspace of the doorway?
It's easier to explain if you're talking about putting inside, but right. It didn't have to be that way. Our Gemara is not really addressing that. We're going to address that in the Amid base.
Okay.
You could
okay.
Theoretically have in a beautiful plastic or beautiful silver mezuzah case, and instead of fixing it balachsan as we do it, or doing it vertical straight up, he went and put it on the side. So you'd have your mezuzah, you'd look at it and you'd say, hey, it's falling down. It looks like one of the screws is missing and that's why it's falling. But according to our Gemara, if he did it in such a horizontal manner, according to Rashi, this would be possible. According to Tosis, it would be great. So in other words, that's the machloket between Rashi and Tosis, how it's supposed to be. But it doesn't have to be that we're talking about dafke inside. Rashi's just giving an example.
Okay.
How do you look at vertical and horizontal? We're talking about bolts, just like a bolt. If you put it into your, if you have between your door and your door post, and you want to bolt the door, and you don't have pivots, you insert, you have that bolt going from into. But it doesn't have to be dafka inside. It could be from the outside as well.
Don't mention that's a curse.
Yeah, that we have right. Standing up, right.
Mm-hmm. According to the time, and we're not.
So there's further discussion about that in Tosis. I think he also mentions it, but I don't recall. But others talk about that, that maybe according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would be preferable to have every time. Well, but Rabbeinu Tam holds that it should be standing, right? It's Rashi holds it will be standing, and Mechaber holds it should be standing. So therefore, in our own Kodesh, we follow like Rashi. You're saying once we are doing like by the mezuzah, we're doing it aslant. So maybe we should also put the Sefer Torah aslant.
Maybe they are because they stand a little bit back. So
in our base medrash anyway.
Yeah.
But okay. The Sfardim actually they have in those cases
in their boxes.
But, yeah. But you don't want to have leans on your Torah.
Yeah, Vada, you don't want leans in the Torah. So. Exactly. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, Zok Gemara Vayter. Okay, so now we still had the second issue. What was the second issue? Bahu pischa dehava ayil bo Rav Huna lebei midrasha vehavi la mezuzah. We said about Rebbe. How did we get into this discussion? We said that Rebbe had his bolts in his mezuzahs in a particular way. But we have another issue, and that is the Pesach the Rebbe used to go into Bismadrish didn't have a mezuzah at all. Oh, yeah, he didn't have a mezuzah. Now, on the surface, you can say the reason is because Bais Medrash is not a Beis Dira. You don't live in, you don't sleep in the Bais Medrash. Some people in the middle of the shir fall asleep. That's true. But it's not designed to go and sleep in. And so, therefore, maybe that's the reason why they have a mezuzah. But the problem, says the Gemara, is Vahu Pischa Dehava Ayil Barav Huna Lebei Midrasha. A similar situation in the Havamina, he also had a doorway into the Bismarish. The Havala mezuzah. He had a mezuzah there, so make up your mind. Do you need a mezuzah for Bismarish or don't you need a mezuzah for Bismarish?
Korach asked that question. Right,
Brother Shai, you're cooking with gas today. That's Givaldi.
Baismali mezuzah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the question now is, do you need one? Do you need one? Hefri Mora Hava. Hahu Rogel Hava. That was a doorway that was used biragilus with tremendous frequency, as opposed to the one of Rebbe that was just used occasionally by Rebbe himself. Our Gemara suggests that if you have a common house where there are two or three or four entrances, that the only place that you need the mezuzah is the one that is used biragilus, and those that are used on a frequent basis. Those are used only for a rainy day, or when there's snow in the front of the frag, and you go to the other one or something, then you would not need a mezuzah. This, by the way, is not consistent with the Gemara that we're going to have tomorrow. And halacha lemaaseh, we do put mezuzahs on each one of them. But our Gemara today holds that if you have competing entranceways, one where everybody goes in back and forth all the time, and one which is only used, like I say, private entranceway, which is only used infrequently, you only need the mezuzah in the frequent one and not in the infrequent one. And the reason why Rebbe had that special side entrance that he used to go through, because he didn't want any of the Talmidim to have to go and stand up for him. So he figured, I'm going to have a little Pesach right near his seat, you know, in the back of his Medrash, Gzumta, in front of his Medrash, wherever it was. And so there, people should not notice even that he's coming in, so you don't have en masse everybody standing up for Rebbe as he's walking in. So since it was used so infrequently, only by Rebbe himself, not by anybody else, and presumably he was hiding the corner somewhere, that's why he didn't need a mezuzah. But the one that Rav Huna went, that was used by many of the Talmidim, they would come and go, and therefore you need a mezuzah after all. Okay. Right, Amr Zera, Amr Masna, Amr Shmuel, Mitzvah Lohanicha Betchila Shlisha Elyon. Where do you put the mezuzah on your doorpost? Can you put it on the floor? Can you put it on the top, in the middle? So it says, Gizuntai, you put it on the beginning of the upper third. Just in case you're considering what does that mean, Rashi gives us a very graphic demonstration. He says, go and measure from the bottom of the floor till the top of the doorpost, and then once you hit from bottom towards the top, you've finished your first two-thirds, from there and above, that's where you should go and place your mezuzah. Gesundheit. So, just giving a simple example, if the doorway is 6 feet tall, and you go measure up 4 feet, then above that fourth foot, then you go and affix the mezuzah within the upper 2 feet. So, betchilah shlisha. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna said, no, I have a different way of doing it. You can basically put the mezuzah virtually anywhere, with the exception of the top tefach and the bottom tefach. Rav Huna Amar Magbiyam and Akarka tefach. You start, Gzuntai, you go from the bottom of the doorpost, you go up at least one tefach, 4 or 5 inches. Urmachim in a koyr tefach, koyr means the beam on top, which is your lintel, your mashkoiv, go down from that a tefach, So therefore you basically have your 5 feet plus that you can put the mezuzah anywhere on the bottom and the top. Just don't put it within the bottom tefach and not the uppermost tefach, which is next to the top. So you have a machlokes here between Shmuel and Rav Huna. Now we have a virtually identical machlokes here and a braisa. In fact, the ratio of the braisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda, is word for word Rav Huna. Starts the braisa meis, right? When you're putting up your mezuzah, magmim and a karka tefach, go up a tefach, tefach from the ground. Umarchim and a kurdi tefach, go all the way on top and be marchik below that top tefach. V'chol ha-pesach, kule, kashal, mezuzah, all the rest of it, no problem, put the mezuzah anywhere, div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda are exactly on the same page, on the same doorpost, same distance, everything exactly the same. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ukshartim, uksaftim. As we know, in the two parashas of Krishna, it says, ukshartim, uksayidecha, uksaftim, uksayidecha, 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 and we therefore we make a heckish one to the other, makshira, begoiva, just like the kshira is begoiva, Rashi says this is referring to the tefillin shel roish, which is on top of the head, so all the way in the top, afksiva, begoiva, also, just like the kshira, afksiva means the uksaftim, uksayidecha, you also put that all the way on top, which suggests even within that top tefach, which is adjacent to or touching the koira on top. Zuktimara, let's analyze now. Bishlam Rav Huna, how does Rav Huna hold vis-a-vis this machlekes tanoim? Who the Yomaker of Yehuda? He holds it like Rav Yehuda, word for word. You marchik one tefach from the bottom, one marchik tefach from the top, and all the rest is fine. Elishmul the Yomaker Kiman, loik Rav Yehuda, he doesn't hold like Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda is the one that said what we just said now, marchik tefach and tefach. Otherwise, everything is open for sale, so to speak. And Shmuel said, no, it's got to be the Shlisha Elyon. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you can go all the way to the top. The Goiva, like Goiva Harosh. So therefore, it goes all the way to the top. So how is, what does Shmuel say? Amravuna Barin of Nosali, Oilam Kerbiyosi. Shmuel holds like Kerbiyosi. That you do it big Goiva. I am Razoi, who might Chilas Shlish Hu Elyon. What does he say, the first third of the top? Tekomar. Liharchika. What means liharchika? That in fact, even a contribuyosi, even though he says you do it begoiva, he doesn't literally mean begoiva that tefach which is samach to the koira on top. What he meant is that it should be on the upper part of the mezuzah, and how far down can you do it from the top of the mezuzah, the doorpost, till going down below? The most you can go do is till that shlisha elyon. Presumably, what the Gemara is saying is that you can even do it a little bit higher, but at least not below the Shlisha Elyon on the doorpost. And in fact, the article brings from one of the Achroinim that based on this, we would change the pshat of the Goiva. Goiva doesn't mean Al Goiva HaRoish on the Tefillin Shel Roish, but we're really talking about the Tefillin Shel Yad. And since your Tefillin Shel Yad is parallel to one's heart, on an average individual, if you would measure that person from head to toe or toe to head, you would see that the Tefillin Shel Yad is approximately at the Shlisha Elyon,
the bottom of the upper third.
Bottom of the upper third, exactly right. And that would be the pshat, how Shmuel is therefore consistent with Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, fine, okay. Now it says in the Gemara, don't go beyond the Shlish, even though Rabbi Yossi is saying put it on the top. It means don't go below that shlish, just like Shmuel was saying. So Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi are now consistent. Fine. Amar Rava. We had Rava already on the Amar Aleph. Mitzvah lahanicha betefach hasamach l'shesaram. It's a mitzvah to go and put it on the tefach. So remember we talked about that the entranceway was like a tunnel, which lasted for a couple of feet or whatever. So don't put it at the end of the tunnel, right next to the bias where you open the door, but rather in the front of the tunnel, which is somewhat counterintuitive because you would normally think that the mezuzah is always next to the Pesach where you're entering. And now you're going into this tunnel-like entrance. You only get into the house after walking 5, 10, 15 seconds, and then you open the door and now you get into the house. So you would think, go and put it on the Beisecha Uvisharecha. No. Sacha Uvisharecha on your shar. As soon as you enter into the tunnel, have the mezuzah already posted there. What's the reason why my timer? Amri Kadeshi Yivka b'mezuzah miyad. So that you should go and touch the mezuzah immediately. Notice right before the word mezuzah is a beis, and that beis says, take out the word mezuzah instead and put in b'mitzvah. Kadeshi Yivka b'mitzvah miyad. In other words, you're coming home or you're going to somebody else's home. Go and the first thing that you should see about the home is the mezuzah, that mitzvah that is standing there. So he changed the word mezuzah to mitzvah. And it's interesting, if you go back to the Omer Aleph, where we quoted already Rava from before, Omer Rava, Rav Mitzvah Lanicha, Betefach, HaSamach, Yisraam, the top line, you go into the Rashi, Rashi says, on the third line, Kid Omer Lekamon, Dekodem Paga, B'mitzvah, Ki Os Lebeise. Ah, so this is consistent with the change of mitzvah. But there are other Gemaras, it's not in my Gemara, there are other Gemaras that before the word b'mitzvah, they have also an aleph or a beis, and they change the word b'mitzvah to the word b'mezuzah. So, depending on which way you learn, it's consistent. Either both places say mezuzah, or both places say mitzvah, or one says mezuzah, one says mitzvah, but they're both the same idea, that when you're going into the person's home, your home, somebody else's home, that the first thing that you see and the first thing that you touch is the mezuzah or the mitzvah. I see over here in the Shinuyim Nuschois. Yeah, the Shinuyim Nuschois, they leave out the hay. See, they split up the Shittim Yetzin and the Shinuyim Nuschois, which on one level is a very smart idea, but very often they forgot to go and put the Aleph Beis Gimel throughout, so I don't know what it's referring to. But if you look at the hay here in the Shinuyim Nuschois, Shiyivka Mezuzah, Ki Asi Lebeise, so he changes the word mitzvah over here in the Rashi to Mezuzah. And here on the Bachamid Beis, it says in the Gemara Mezuzah, they change it to mitzvah. Okay, so it's a mitzvah to make sure that you know what you're talking about. Dr. Marvaitse, that's one reason. Reb Chanina Bisur Oimek Eichad the Tintrei. Since one of the principal aspects of Mezuzah is it's Shomer Daltzis Yisrael, it's a Shemira for the host. So therefore, it's worthwhile to have that Shemira on the as far away from the house, meaning before you even get close to the house, you already have the Shemira from the outside. Thinking about this just for a moment, the Rush is a Hilchot Mezuzah on the back. So the Rush brings from Maram Mirutenberg. We had in the Omed Aleph a Shaila about putting a Mezuzah on the Besmedrish, yes or no. So there's some poskim that say you don't really need to go and put a Mezuzah on the Besmedrish because it's not a Beis Dira, so it's not necessary. We are knowing that we do. And that reason is because in our Bata Midrashim, people eat and they drink, and the Kiddush, and they sleep, etc. So therefore it has the makings of a Beis Dira. But in the poskim it says that some held that you don't have to put on a mezuzah. So Marami Rutenberg initially did not have a mezuzah on the Pesach of his Beis Medrash, and it says that when he would go, and if he would ever fall asleep or something in the Beis Medrash, it said then he would have terrifying dreams or other things, and then after that they put a mezuzah up, and from that point on, there was no more problems, no more shindalas, no more mazikin. They had that shmir. So therefore they conclude that's why it would be a good idea to put the shmir up, even if it's not absolutely required. Getting back to the Gemara, now what's the, how do we put it? Now, we had a machlokes where you put the mezuzah, right at the top, the elyon, or throughout the whole thing. Most people in modern day society, to my knowledge, don't start measuring from the bottom to the top, and the top to the bottom, they just do it basically at shoulder length, wherever you are, or shoulder height, wherever you walk into, and you know, oh, that sounds like a good place to put it, people can reach it, people can kiss it, etc. Where does that come from? So that's the top toises from a Yerushalmi. Top toises says, you don't put it any lower, put it that shlisha elyon, but not lower than that. When it's very tall, what happens if it's 9 feet tall and you have to put it on the top third? I can't even reach it. It's above my head. So what do you do? Next to his shoulders. He disagrees with our Gemara, and that's, I believe, the minig oilam is to do kneged hakseifayim next to your shoulder. But
if it's a children's bedroom, do you put it even lower so the child can reach it?
I know that the people that do that. Sorry?
Or a classroom in a yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
For young children.
100%. You have to look at Mishulchan Aruch. I think that the minig, according to our Gemara, you do Shlisha Elyon, even though the kids can't reach it, Mitchum, they'll get older, they can aspire to the future when they'll be able to reach it. But I have seen that the mezuzah is lower, but I don't think that's correct. But I didn't check it out in Yeridea, and I didn't ask any competent Orthodox rabbi. You're free to ask.
I did, and that rabbi said, no, it has to be
higher. Ah, exactly. And we continue on. Zok Timur Avaita, Amar Abchanina, Boi Ure Eish, Leikim, Midas Kedesh Baruch, Midas Basav Adam. So Timur throws in a shtickle of Gadata, that Midas Basav Adam, Melech Yoishim, Mibifnim, the Melech is sitting in the palace, the am, they correct that to va'avodov b'sham ha'isra mechutz. You have security guards who are outside and watching the palace. Miniskash baruch ha'enu kein, the avodov yoshmi b'fnim. He allows the avodov, means Klal Yisrael, to sit inside. From Hashem Rechutz, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is standing outside, so to speak. Shenema, Hashem Shemrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, Al Yad Yiminecha. Yiminecha is where the mezuzah is on the right side. So there's a shmira and a tzel from the Rabbi Yishlam. Torah Shav Yosem Rei Derov Mishmei Derova. Hemik Lo Tefach is Psula. Now this gets to Mendi Shaila about putting the mezuzah in a cavity within the doorpost itself, as opposed to like most people do when you have the mezuzah on the outside. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common, especially in Yerushalayim, you find that there is no mezuzah sticking out, but that rather they put into a cavity inside. And there's nothing wrong with that. How do you put in the cavity? Again, klalocha, you should go and do it b'alachsayin, and the svardim do it vertical, and it doesn't have to be perfect alachsayin, as long as it's standing a little bit to the side, it's good, but not lying down.
The dentists prefer
put in the cavity. Oh, very good. Shkoyach. Is there a Shabbat Yosef Rei Derov Mishmei Derov? Hemikla Tefach Psula. Now, this Hemikla Tefach. Yes?
It's particularly common in the stone, because it's hard to affix anything to the stone. So
that's the way they put it inside. And it's not hard to bore a hole inside the stone and put a cavity there.
It is. It's more stable.
Trying to affix to the stone.
That's easier than affixing to the outside.
Shariafo, it's in there, and if there's a lucite cover over it, so no one should take it, to seal it in. But you go into Shariafo, it's an enormous mezuzah there.
I can imagine. Anyway, Shkoyach, so getting back to our Gemara, so what happens if you tuck a bore a hole, and you made the cavity there, and you didn't go to the dentist, and what happened was, the cavity was a deep cavity, and you put the mezuzah in the back of the cavity of that doorpost, so that it's no longer right next to the front. In other words, if you want to go and kiss it, you can't, because your finger can't even get in that far, assuming that there was a hole as opposed to the lucite. But the point is, he was mamik tefach inside, that's possible, because the vishurecha means it's got to be closer to the front of the, when I say front of the doorpost, the surface, very good. The surface of the side. We're staying the way we learned at the beginning of today's Gemara, that it's on the side of the doorpost, not in front of the doorpost. But on the side, it should not be in depth into the doorpost, full tefach. Less than that is okay. But once it's a tefach, no good. So Timur Limasaili, I'm going to bring you right from a braisa, which the chord is directly on point. Hinicha bepatzim, that if you went and took the mezuzah and bore a hole and you put it into the doorpost itself. You put it back in the front or the surface of the door. You made the hollow, you have a cavity, you put the mezuzah in properly, and it was tacked towards the front. And then somebody decided, perhaps for ornamental purposes, to go and take a brick, a malbein, a levena, and to go and plaster that on top of where the mezuzah is inside. And sorry?
You're burying it.
Oh, sim yeshom tefach. If you're burying it a tefach, in other words, the malbein is a tefach or wider. Now, if it's less than a tefach, that's okay. But if it's more than a tefach, or if it's a tefach or more, tarach mezuzah acheres, you have to have...
You can't
see it at all, right? Because the malbein is covering it over. But the fact that it's covered over is not a problem. It's only if it's that thick that it's a tefach. If it's only a half a tefach thick, I don't see the mezuzah. I'll give you a certificate that certifies that there's a mezuzah below, as long or behind it, as long as it's not behind it by a tefach or more. But if it does, tzarech mezuzah acheres. In other words, that mezuzah is no good. You're going to need a brand new mezuzah. Lav dafka, that means add a second one. It means really go and take it out of its place so that it should be closer to the surface and not buried deep inside. And in lav, if it's not a full tefach, it's tzarech mezuzah acheres. It's good to say this is. Anyway, so lechoira, I have a direct braisa on point. The memra of Rav Yosef Rei Derov Mishmei Derov, that if you mamik tefach, it's possible. Do shteitach in the braisa, that if you are mamik in a tefach or more, you need another mezuzah. It's a nishgit. And for the Gemara Nishkarai, Kitanya, he's bepesach she'achoyrei hadeles. There is talking about a separate situation when you have a door in back of the Delis. Now, what does it mean, a door in back of the Delis? So, in some of the newer art scroll Gemaras, they have, in fact, a diagram. I don't know whether this one has or doesn't. Okay, so what can you do? What we're talking about is this, assuming that this is the building, and assuming that this is the southwest corner. Southwest corner. Now, this southwest corner, the person decided to make two doorways into the house. So he made one doorway over here and one doorway over here. And he used one common doorpost for both. So therefore, if I'm walking in this way, I open the door, and the doorpost is holding the door in place with the pivots on the side, and the front, and the back, whatever. This is one entranceway. And then there's another entranceway from here, going into... Good. So now, I put up my mezuzah on this side, because this is the doorway that's entering in, and whatever portion you put a mezuzah here. Question is, do you need another mezuzah for the door over here as well? Our Gemara tells us that if this doorpost in between, connecting the two doorways, is less than a tefach,
it's one large doorway.
It's like one large, even though physically you have two doors.
Halachically.
And therefore you only have to have one mezuzah here, and it patters both entrances, no problem. But if this middle one over here is thick, oh, you have a picture.
Mandy, is it from the newer art
scroll? From the newer art scroll, we have a picture. You see?
Wow.
Have, this is one door here, one door there.
Show me this art scroll.
Okay, you see the picture over here? You see at the two corners, you see one door and you see the other door. Okay, on the corner there.
And it's everlasting because it goes from door to door.
Door to door, exactly. And that's why, you know, Moshe Sandlau of Lincoln Square and Hatzalah, he always says that if you're giving somebody a ride, you should give door to door service. Mm-hmm. Don't go and stop in the halfway or in the corner. Take them to the door. Anyway, so you see the two doors. And so this middle schmitchik, that doorpost that's connecting the two together,
it's halachically redeemed as if it's not there.
It, depending on the size.
It's like lavud, but lavud is treated for
it. It's similar to lavud. Yes, you're right. But here we're talking about the significance of that doorpost and this corner doorpost down here. If this happens to be nice and wide, more than a tefach, then these are two separate doorways, and you have to have a mezuzah on this side and a mezuzah on that side. If it's shmul, if it's narrow, then what's the halacha? It's like one expanded large doorway. You have doors on this side and that side, but the mice, it's one real entranceway, and therefore you only need one mezuzah, you don't need two mezuzahs. Okay.
There's one problem with this double doorway. I can think like a corner of like a store or something, a building. People might tend to go in on the right and come in on the right, going out on the right, comes with the other door. So you might need a mezuzah going out from the other door.
Presumably, you would need it if the cornerstone that is connecting the two doors, if it's more than a tefach, you would need a second mezuzah.
No, it's the way you flip the doors. Because you have to open the doors to the outside.
Oh.
You cannot open it to the inside.
Very good. So what you're talking about is it's theoretically possible you're opening the door on one side, and then you come smash, your door hits the other door, so therefore that door has to be on the outside. That's what the Lashon HaGemara is really to go and give us that idea. Look at the Gemara, Kitanya hi bePesach she'achori haDelas, that you have a Pesach which is in back of the Delas. What do you mean? We're talking about they're on the two sides, the south side and the west side. They're not achori haDelas, they're at right angles of each other. Pesach she'achori haDelas, that if you open up one door on the inside and now you're coming in from the outside, in fact, when you open the door, you might find that there's a door right in back of your delis. There's another delis, it should be delis, shachariya delis, that you have the passageway right in back of your delis, because the two doors could, yes, if you don't put on good door hinges or something, they could hit each other very easily.
And it won't be delicate.
It won't be delicate. Very good. Okay. Anyway, so that's, so it, therefore, based on that, that could very well be the pshat in that braisa, that leim mesayile. So it has nothing to do with putting the mezuzah into the hollow cavity of the doorpost, but rather has to do with the two entranceways which have that common corner doorpost between them. And therefore, that has nothing to do. So you thought I have a rai from a braisa, tanam yochi, no, you have no rai from that braisa. Frank Timura, you're explaining the braisa in the way you just did. Habehediktani, look, continue on in that same braisa, the braisa continues on. Pesach she'achori hadelis, im yesham tefach, tzorech mezuzah acheres, v'im lav ein tzorech mezuzah acheres. So it really tells us that story or that case in the end of the braisa. So in the earlier part of the braisa, which talks about hinicha v'patzim v'shetolu aleh malvin im yeshem tevach tzorech mezuzah acheres, that's a different case, because otherwise why would you repeat the same case twice? Everything more a case of k'toni. No, nishkarai. It could be these taka. These two are all one case. But when I learned initially in Yichba Patzim Shetola Lamalbim Yeshem Tevach Tzorach Mezuzah Acheres, I'm trying to think to myself, what does that mean? Oh, The price continues on. Okay, Tzan, Pesach Shechori Adelis, Miesham Teva, who's in the Cheres, in the corner, the two driveways, not the two entranceways, from extending from the same corner doorpost, having nothing to do with the question of being mamikit into the hollow cavity of the doorpost. Okay. Next, Tana, we learned in a braisa, Hemid lo malbein shel konim. What happens if instead of having a piece of wood, which you're using as your doorpost, a piece of metal, you didn't have metal or wood, and therefore you go and make a makeshift doorpost out of konim. Konim are reeds. Now here too, I have to go and put up my mezuzah. So the Gemara gives an eitzah, choytech sheferes, go and cut out like a small cavity, like a pipe, in these reeds, and you can go and put it inside. You don't even have to go and attach it from the outside. You can put it inside. Make sure the same shayla we had on the Omer Aleph with Rav Nachman and the Reish Galusa, first go and put up your reeds and put them fest as a post into the ground. And then make your cutting and then put in the mezuzah. If the reeds are still on the ground, and you made your hole, and you put in your mezuzah, and you say, oh, Rabbi, say, look, we put the mezuzah, blah, 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 blah. And then you put it up, it's possible, because tasa v'loy mina osui, you have to go and affix your cloth mezuzah to the doorpost mezuzah after the doorpost is already
fabricated. It's like a mock, it was on a mock of that situation.
Good. The Yomar of Hani Pischi Shimoi. Rashi says Shimoi means mikukolim, krum. These are not normal psachim. They are corrupted in one way or another. What type of corruption are you talking about? Hani pischi shimoi p'tur menezuzah. My pischi shimoi can give me an example. So tomar pliyba rav rechumi ve'abi yoisi. Machlok is between rav rechumi and abi yoisi shkoyach mendi. Chad omad leslehu tikra v'chad omad leslehu shkufi. Ah, so we're talking about, although there's an entranceway, it doesn't have a mashkoif on top. There is no ceiling on top. In other words, it could be like an open porch, and there's no ceiling on top at all. Oh, it doesn't require a mezuzah. Actually, the shkufi means it doesn't have door posts. So you could have an opening, and there are no door posts standing there. Oh, how do you have an opening without door posts? Well, first of all, you have in modern-day apartments, many times you go from one room to the other, you'll often see that there's a mezuzah fixed to what looks like the wall, because there's really no door post over there. So that could be the situation we're talking about, that there are no doorposts, it's just you have openings in the wall, right? They carved out a nice opening in the wall, but there are no doorposts there.
We're in a, whatchamacallit, in the foyer area, mm-hmm. going from one place to the other, but there is
a shape, of, the
shape of the doorway.
So then you get into a lot of modern day technical shaylas, halachic shaylas, do you need, don't you need? Most people put on just to be on the safe side so you don't violate the shmira and the mitzvah.
You're not putting me on, are you?
I'm not putting you on, but I would put the mezuzah on. Okay, very good. Anyway, continuing weiter, so either didn't have a ceiling at all, or that it didn't have your doorposts at all. Omer Rabba Barshila, Omer Rav Chisda, Achsadra Peturim and a mezuzah. Since we started talking about like a porch, oh, now we're talking about an open-air porch, it's Potem and a mezuzah. Now, what is the definition of a porch? Rashi says that you only have three walls. In other words, think about a house that you're entering into. The house is somewhat recessed, and on the front of the house, that's one wall, and then you have to the right and to the left, you also have walls, but everyone and anyone can come in from the front because there's no wall in the front at all. Mm-hmm. So you just have it like an open porch, and presumably you would have a chair and chairs and tables there where people would sit down, and they would on a hot day they would sit out and get a little air, whatever. Anyway, we're talking, the chsadra means a three-walled enclosure without a fourth wall. Since there's no fourth wall in the front, you don't need a mezuzah. Sorry?
Like a sukkah.
Like a sukkah, good. Most of our sukkahs do have four walls, but you're right. You could have theoretically three. Sorry, Nachum?
No mezuzah.
Well, you don't mezuzah because you're never there for more than 30 days anyway. But if you'd be more than 30 days, and it was roy ledira, you know, that would be a shaylah. But not for today. Anyways, you have the chsadras tur mezuzah. And although the Gemara doesn't tell us this, we're going to see this in another couple of lines, there was a roof on it, or at least a partial roof.
It was a covered porch.
Okay, so it was on a covered porch. And the front was coming down somewhat. In other words, as you come in, there was... I'm sorry?
They had a beam.
Not a beam. They had...
A sloping roof.
A sloping roof, which is coming down a little bit. And the main reason for that, said Rashi, was to stabilize the three walls so that it shouldn't go in platz. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you had like a schach, or you had a shtickle ticker on top to go and hold it in place. Anyway, so Zokti Gemara, Amr Rav Shila, Amr Rav Chizda, Chsar B'tur Mezuzah, Fisha Ein Lo P'tzimin. P'tzimin means it doesn't have any doorposts. Hutu Mar Yesh Lo P'tzimin, it's Mashva Chayiv. Then you would be mechuyev to put on mezuzah. In other words, although the whole front is all open, if you had two doorposts, one on one side, one on the other side, then mechuyev you'd need a mezuzah. That's what it sounds like.
Without door.
Even without a door.
Or yes.
Even, yeah, without a door. Without a door. It sounds right. Like you would be chayev, you'd have to go
like
and put
it. Like the Shar Yafa or something. There's no door there, but it says mezuzah.
Good. Zoktim har yesh lo b'tzimin chayev, chayev. Freiti mora. I don't understand. The purpose of putting on those posts, I mean, it looks kind of silly in the middle of a totally open wall to have two doorposts there in the middle. What's the purpose of those two doorposts? The purpose is to hold up the tikra, so the tikra, that shtickle sloping roof, shouldn't chas v'sholom fall down or collapse or something like that. So it's really not meant for a Pesach habayis or for a delis. So what do you need to have a mezuzah for? Avdim hachik omer, av b'shiyesh v'btzimen. Is Petura, Shenasuyin El Lechizik Letira, even the Tikra, even though it has Psimin, it's Potter. Now, the Loshin of Gemara is a bit so shver, because he starts off, Achsadra Petura Min HaMezuzah, Lefish Ein LaPtzimin. We're saying, what happens if it has Ptzimin, then it would be Chayv. So, yeah, even if it has Ptzimin, it's Potter, Shenasuyin Lechizik. That doesn't, how does that lie in those words? So, the answer is, Zugma Mefarshim, Achsadra Petura Min HaMezuzah, Lefish Ein La, it doesn't have Halachik. Ptzimin. What do you mean it doesn't have a lachim? What means a lachim ptzimin? A lachim ptzimin means that you have doorposts for the purposes of an entranceway, as if you had a door and as if you had an entrance. Those are halachim ptzimin. Here, the purpose of these doorposts are really not for an entranceway. You can enter all over on that side because it's all open. It's there to hold up the tikra. Oh, that means that's what we mean. She'ein lo ptzimin doesn't have halachically required ptzimin that would require a mezuzah. Omer Abay, Chazin Lahu Leispeli, the Beimar, the Islahu Ptzimi, Vules Lahu Mezuzta. I could go and testify that I saw the Ispleidi, those type of achsadris, which were open on one full side, the Beimar. Mar is either Rabba, others say the Beimar is referring to Rav. Regardless, I saw these openings, the Islahu Ptzimi that had taka these doorposts, Vules Lahu Mezuzta, and they didn't have a mezuzah. You know why? Because those doorposts were not really doorposts. They were just pillars or posts, lechizik tikru davidi, and therefore, like we just said, fine. Frank Dimar Meisve, I have a braisa. The braisa says, Beishar is a guard's house, and Achsadra, what we're talking about, Umerpeset. Merpeset is a terrace, which typically in the good old days was not a merpeset like we have today, where you have out of one of your living room or your dining room or something that you can open up the sliding doors or whatever, and you go out on a terrace, or you can build a sukkah over there. Merpeset in the good old days was referring to you had a multi-story house, let's say two stories, three stories. And how did people get into their apartments? Not by going through the lobby down below and then having staircases inside or having elevators, but rather that you would have outside staircases that would come to a merpeset, a large, what we would think of like a roof, and then from there people would be able to enter into their apartments. So could be if you had a three-story house, then you had like two merpeseses, merpasot, that one would be on the second floor and would be on the third floor.
In Israel, the older buildings in Israel, you have these stairways. Stairs, hallways, and you put the light on, and then it goes off after 30.
But that's usually inside the house. They were talking about a pesach on the outside of the house. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, what's the story? These three are mechuyev ben mezuzah. Now, the achsadra that we said is mechuyev ben mezuzah, but we just, the last five lines, we kept on saying, achsadra potem ben mezuzah. I fell in mid betzimin, because the betzimin is just to hold up the tikra. It's not really the doorway. Everything with achsadra to be rav. Now, what was special about Achsadra Beirav? So Rashi says Achsadra Beirav had walls on all four sides. However, they were not tall walls. They were basically just 10 tefachim from the ground and didn't reach the roof. If you see the Rashi, the second wide line, Achsadra Beirav, Sheyesh L'dalet Tefanos, El Sheim Magiyas L'Schach. And therefore, above those Tefanos, you had a lot of air coming and going, and you had the sunlight coming and going. So you had the benefits of having a porch, but you also have the benefit of a little bit of privacy in terms of that you had half walls around it, but from all four sides. Dalit finds. Oh, no, in that situation, then you'd need a mezuzah, because in fact you have four walls. Not the chsadr that we said until now means three walls, it's the four walls. Freit Dimara, you're talking about a chsadr beirav that had four walls, then kindrun mal yasihi. That sounds to me like a regular room, like a normal room, that of course you have to have a mezuzah. What's the chidush if it has four walls? We're talking about an achsadra that, like they had in Rome. What were the Roman achsadras all about? So says Rashi, asuya chaloinois chaloinois, that these weren't even proper walls, but made up mostly of windows all over. Presumably the reason why they made out of windows, so when you could open the window and get all the air coming in, and all the rest. Ah, so therefore I would say, this is not even a wall, this is just windows. And you know, in the good old days, it wasn't windows like we have today that you go and just shift them up and down and stuff. It was really large holes in the wall with shutters. Right. And you'd open up the shutters and, the air comes in, and then you close it up, etc.
Today you shudder at the thought.
You just shudder at the thought, exactly. Today you go and open the shutters to get the, to make it better air outside than rather inside, because we have all the problems with the environment, and they just cut the whole budget for the environment. Right. All very, very interesting. Yeah. But getting back to Argumar, so the point of all of this is, so Sulka Daita Chemina, since it's mainly windows with shutters, maybe it's not even considered to be walls. Kamash Malanya, it's far to walls, and therefore you do have to have a mezuzah after all. Okay. Omer of Yehuda, Beir Ziki, Chai B'Shtei Mezuzahs. The Beir Ziki requires two mezuzahs. What does that mean? Amrav Papa Saba Mishmei Derav Beishar HaPesuach LeChotzer Ubatim Psuchim LeBeishar. This Beishar is basically like a modern day lobby, but it's not a lobby corridor inside a house, but rather inside the Chotzer. Meaning, if you wanted to get from the outside front lawn into the house, the only way you could go is through the Beishar, which is where the doorman or the guard was sitting, and then he would presumably look at you and see whether you happen to live in this building or not. Otherwise, he'd ask who you're visiting, and maybe I want to see your ID, or we're going to call up to the tenant, or whatever it happens to be. And so, therefore, this Beishar was just a corridor leading between the outside chotzer and inside the house. That being the case, you need two mezuzahs on the two doorways. The doorway that comes from the chotzer into the bayis, because the beishar is also like a bayis. That's where the guard lives for, I don't know, for 24 hours, but whatever it is. And so therefore, you need a mezuzah going there. And then from the guardhouse going into the proper house, another mezuzah. So you need the two mezuzahs. And this is like a beisechu visharecha, the shar that you go into, and then the bayis subsequently. Okay, makes a lot of sense. So that's a beir ziki. These beishar that have the two doorways in from the chotzer into the beishar, and from the beishar into the bayis. Now, Tanur Rabbanan. Now, this gets a drop more complicated. Tanur Rabbanan beishar hapasuach legina ule kitoinis. A kitoinis means like a shtibel from the Lashon cotton. Not a big house, but into a smaller house, into a room. And the beishar connects these two together. On the one side you have a gina, on the other side you have your kitoinis. So now you have two doorways. The doorway that goes from the beishar into the kitoinis, that we're not discussing. That clearly needs a mezuzah, because that kitoinis, although it's a small house, but it's small and it has the dimensions of a house.
It's a beis dira, and that's it.
It's a beis dira, it's royal beis dira, and therefore you need a mezuzah. That's not the discussion. The discussion is only the doorway between the gina and the beis shah. And the machloikas that we're going to have is basically, what is the main reason for the door? Is the entry going from the gina into the beishar, or is it from the beishar into the gina? And depending on that determination, you'll determine whether you need a mezuzah or not. So Rabbi Yosi Oimer nidan ki kitoinis, and therefore yes, you do need a mezuzah on that doorway. V'chom Oimer nidan ki beishar, no, it's only like an entranceway, a corridor entering into the gina, and the gina is not a beis dira, and you don't need a mezuzah. And the Gemara explains now in more detail. Rabbi Shmuel the Amr Tovai. We have in Rashi three separate pshatim. Rashi, the third pshat, which is three lines from the bottom, Rashi said, Lishnachrin of the Iker. So we're going to learn with that pshat in the Rashi. And what is that pshat in the Rashi? Zok Yetz to Gemara. We have a machloikis. First we started with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel the Amr Tovai. Remember, we started off with the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Chum. Rabbi Yossi says you do need a mezuzah on that doorway between the Beishar and the Gina, because we look upon it like the Beishar being a kitonis, like a residence, a small room resident. Therefore, you need a mezuzah. And the Chum say, no. We look at it as a Beishar going towards the Gina. So Rabbi Shmuel Yom Tovai, me Gina le bayis kuli amalei pliyid achayv. Now it's a little bit ikachusim in a sefer. Rashi says you look at where the heker tzir is. Remember, the heker tzir is where the pivot is. Oh, so if the heker tzir is in the bayis, meaning in the base shaar, so that means that the doorway and the essence of this entranceway is to the base shaar. Base shaar is a mini bayis. That's what we refer to as a kitonis. So therefore, the doorway is made for the inside. The inside is where the pivot is. If the pivot is inside the Beishar, then you do need a mezuzah, because you're going from the Gina to the Iker place, which is the Beishar, which is inside. My timer, because Bia, the Bayasi, you're entering into the Beishar, because that's where the Heker Tzir is, in the inside of that Bayas. Keep believing me, Bayas Ligina. The Machlokes is, what happens if the pivot is on the side of the Gina, of the garden side? That would be kind of a strange construction, but that's what they did, that the pivot was in the Gina as opposed to the Bayis. Mar Sovar, the first man, the Yomer, says, Kitoinis Iker. That means that the Beishar is the Iker. The fact that they put the pivot here, the pivot there, that's really not important. The Beishar, that's the essence over here, because that's where the guard sleeps, eats, drinks, etc. And so therefore, it's a mini house, and there being a mini house, and then you need Iker. What's the whole reason why they built this Beishar? This Beishar connected to the Gina is because they want to protect the Gina from thieves or from animals or from dirt or garbage or whatever. So therefore the Gina is the Iker, and that's the reason why the pivot is stuck on the Gina side. That being the case, Gina is not a Beis Dira, you don't need a mezuzah. That's how Rav and Shmuel learns. Rav and Shmuel are the Machmirim, because they say that if the pivot is on the Bayis side, everybody agrees that you're Chayiv. If it's on the Gina side, then we have a Machloikis. Rabbi Rav Yosef on more Mekel. Rabbi Yosef Yamar Chavayim Mi Bayis Ligina. That if, in fact, the pivot is on the Gina side, Kuli Amalei Pliyid Apatah. So, well, it's Patur, because the Gina is, that's the essential, where the entranceway is going into the Gina. People go and pay money to go into fancy gardens. And so, therefore, that's the Iker. And since it's not a base deer, you're Patur. My time, because Pischa the Ginahu. This Delis is not a Delis into a Bayis, it's into the Gina. And therefore, Gina is not a base tira. No mezuzah required. Keep a Ligim a Gina, the Bayis, where the pivot is on the Bayis side. Marisova, be as the Bayis, be the Bayis. It's crystal clear that the entranceway is going into a house, and of course, you need a mezuzah. Marisova, Kula Adaita the Ginahu, Davida. The whole Beishar over here is just to have a security guard watching over the Gina. This Gina has in it beautiful flowers and beautiful other shrubbery and stuff, and people have to pay an entrance fee to it because it's so nice, and you have all the tourists taking pictures and selfies and all these other wonderful stuff.
But
so
the only entrance to the Gina is through the Shar.
That's true. But we're talking about the doorway between the Beishar and the Gina. We're not talking about any other doorway into the Beishar. We're just talking about the Shar into the Gina. So we're saying in that doorway between the Beishar and the Gina, what is the major purpose of that doorway? Is the doorway an entranceway from the Gina into the Beishar, so you're going into a bayis? Or is it as an entranceway from the bayis into the Gina? Then it's not entering into a bayis, you're entering into the Gina. Gina, you don't live in the Gina. You don't live in the Gina, you don't need the mezuzah. So that's the machlokes.
So if you have a yard in the house.
A guard that's living in the house, right?
No, you have a house.
You have a house?
You have a backyard which is enclosed. Nobody can come into that backyard.
Correct.
So according to this thing, you don't need a mezuzah, but...
People exit the house to go into the backyard, right?
Right.
Okay, and presumably from that backyard, maybe or maybe not, you can go out to Drisha Sarah. So that, and no, if you are inside the backyard, then you can come into the question you're asking about houses with front lawns and backyards. It could very well be that those are all considered to be accessories and adjuncts to the major house. So even though most people don't live in the front yard or in the backyard, but the reason why you have those front lawns and backyards is because you want to, the children have toys over there, and they have these huge waterfalls or whatever, that they hit slides and stuff like that, and during the summer months, you go and have a barbecue. So they're probably considered to be accessories to the house, just like the house is the base dira, so that could be an expanded base dira. Anyway, halacha l'maisi, you have to look in Shulchan Aruch and ask rabbis, but for purpose of what we're talking about is, this gina was not attached to the house, the only thing was attached to this beishar. To get into the gina, you went to the beishar, to get into the beishar, you went to the gina. Question is, what is the purpose of that house? Is it a gina door? Not the house. What's the purpose of this entranceway? Is it an entranceway from the Beishar into the Gina, or from the Gina into the Beishar? And that's what you see is the machloikis between the two. Now, Rab and Shmuel were the machmirim, because Rab and Rav Yosef are the mekilim, because they say, Chavai, David, Chavai, and Bais, the Gina, the world, loy be the potter, the abad. My time, I'll be the keep a ligam, the Gina, the Bais. If the pivot was on the Bais side, you're nish. So you have only one mandiyama that holds in one case that you're chayv, otherwise you're potter. Or Rabbi Shmuel said the other way around, that if it's Megin Labayis, everybody agrees that you're Chayim. The only question is, Megin Labayis. Ah, why am I pointing that out? Says Yomar Abayi, Rabbi Avdi Karabi Rav Yosef. They're passing like Rabbi Yosef, who were more Mekel. Rav Ashi Avdi Karabi Shmuel, Lechumra, which were the more Machmer, that most of the time you do need the mezuzah after all. Elchus Rabbi Shmuel, Lechumra, that's Halacha Lamais.
Wow.
Have a wonderful day, a good and Shabbos, everybody, Zagis, and be well, Kol Tov.
So if a doorway is not chayv in mezuzah, and you put a mezuzah on it, you're not over on Baal Tosef?
Are you over on Baal Tosef? If there's any reason why, I wouldn't say you would be a Baal Tosef. Rashi, remember, Tosef brought yesterday that a person that puts on